Well, we've been talking about confession. Confession means to say the same thing. And, of course, in the scriptural line, we're saying the same thing that God is saying, the same thing that the Word of God is saying. We're not making anything up. We're saying what God is saying. And when you say what God is saying, you get the results. Do you know the saying of it increases your faith? Increases your faith. The more you say it, the more impacted you are in the spirit. The more goes down into your spirit, and the more comes out of your spirit, bringing you the healing and the relief and the answers that you need. Amen. So we've talked extensively about saying the Word of God and about having a confession of faith, a saying of the Word of God from the time you're born again. What happens is we save confession for a tragedy or a difficulty. And then we want to know where the scripture says. One lady came to me. Her friend wanted to be born again. She didn't know how to tell her how sad that was. But I was glad she was brave enough to come. See, we become students of the Word. And part of your impacting and being a student of the Word is you're constantly saying it and repeating it to yourself, confessing it. When you got born again, you believed in your heart and said with your mouth. That's in Romans chapter 10. And there is no victory without confession. Did you know that? Faith comes by hearing. But the fact that you heard it isn't going to bring you victory. The fact that you heard it and said it enough for it to be springs of living water in your spirit, come out of your spirit, and then your faith is increased. Faith is not just for tragedies. Faith is not just for salvation, and then you walk through life, do the best you can. I remember we prayed for the sick at our church. We come from denominational churches. We prayed for the sick, and they either lived or died. I mean, I don't know that we didn't expect our prayers to make a difference. But see, anytime you have the Word in you, anytime you say the Word, your faith is increasing, and you're on target. If you have a tragedy, if you have something gone wrong, you can pull from the scripture that you've been all these years. Now, I've been born again since I was 9 years old. You can pull from the scripture all these years what you've been putting in it. Now, we went to my cousin's. Both of them went to be with the Lord, slightly younger than we are. And they wanted to play Bible trivia. Have you ever played that? Well, I kept winning. I was raised in Sunday school, and we knew everything. We didn't know what it meant. We knew what happened. We knew the names of the people. And so they finally, you know, I got who was Adam's wife. The Lord was favoring me. And so I got a question. They said, she won't know this, she won't know this, she won't know this. They were so excited. But I'm going to tell you, we were raised with facts. But the fact you have the facts is not going to make the difference. It's the fact that you understand the facts, that you say the facts, and what you understand and say is constantly increasing in your life. Well, the question I got was, who was Samuel's father? Do you happen to know who was Samuel's father? Because I do. Elkanah, E-L-K-A-N-A-H. They about fainted. They thought I wouldn't know that. But we were raised in facts, and I believe in facts, but I have to have understanding with the facts. It's not the facts. It's not mental. It's not that in my mind I have multitudes of Bible wisdom. That won't save you. But it's what I take time. The word meditate means to mutter, murmur, ponder, confess. It's a verbal word as much as anything else. Sometimes we meditate and we're just thinking about something. Okay, that's the beginning maybe of meditation. But meditation always includes confession, always includes what you say, because what you say is going from your mind into your spirit and is saved for the day that you need to hear it again because of something happened in your life. Mm-hmm. We've talked about all of that. Now, turn to James 1, and we're going to go just a little bit deeper, just a little bit further. James 2 it is, actually. Meditation is what you say. It's what you believe because you've practiced it, you've read it, you've studied it, and you begin to say it, and it begins to take root. But it's bigger than what you say. You can say something and not be prepared to do anything about it. The fact that you said it is not going to be sufficient for your victory. Did you know that? Yeah. Well, look at this in chapter 2. Verse 14, what does it profit, my brother, when say he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him? It's talking about the coordination of faith, which you get from the Word of God, from your meditation in the Word of God, and your confession of faith, and then your action. You have to have action based upon your confession. It's more than what you say. Well, we're not very good at saying, and how we are at doing is a mystery, isn't it? Sometimes we're better doers than we are sayers, but you've got to act on the Word of God, and to act on the Word of God is to say it, to get it in your heart, and to do it or to practice it, to know what to do and how to practice it. So it said, can faith that has not works save you? What's the answer to that? No. See, I don't think we've grasped that over the years, and it's very important. And it gives the example of a brother and sister who had a need, and you go by and you say, be in peace, and hope somebody helps you, and you go right on. That you didn't do anything with what you knew, with what you saw. And that won't bring them victory, and it won't help your heart as well. You've got to back what you say with what you do. What you do has to reflect and be synonymous with what you've said. You have to do what you've said. You can't say one thing and do nothing. You can't say one thing and do something different. Your saying and your doing are the works of faith, and they go with faith, and it is the saying and the doing from the Word of God, consistent with what the Bible has said and what God may be dealing with you about. That's what's going to bring you victory. So if you come to me with a dilemma, I could say, what are you saying? Miss Melinda always quotes me, God blesses his bread and water, takes sickness and disease away from you, and the number of your days he does fulfill. That's her verse. I always say, I've got it on my refrigerator. You know, I'm big into the refrigerator verses. I might come and drop by and check your refrigerator, unless you have a bulletin board. Well, it says, I also like, I just happened to think of that one, all my children are taught of the Lord. You can't be taught in something you're not reading. It says the strong spirit of a man will sustain him in bodily pain or trouble. Mm-hmm. I got a little miffed during the hurricane. I don't know about you, but we were, 7 days without electricity? And a couple of those days, the refrigerator didn't run, and that causes problems. And Wayne took me to the front of my refrigerator and said, read that, Becky, read that. It says, a strong spirit of a man will sustain him bodily pain and trouble. He said, do you have a strong spirit? And I said, I do. Well, I should. I've been working at this over 40 years, especially in the realm of healing. Now, I also tell you, you need a 3 a.m. friend. That's somebody you can call any time, night or day, and say, help, help, help. Somebody, we have had calls at 3 a.m. and other nighttime hours, and one fella called about his wife. She was rushed to the emergency room, and he called in the night, and Wayne and I are going to lay in bed and pray for her. That's what he wanted, prayer. And it wasn't anything before. We were not praying any longer. And so when I came to, I said, get up, get up, get up. You have to get up and walk and stand on your feet. See, faith is active. It's not passive. It's active. It's what you do. Based on what you know. What you know is based on what you said, based on what you believe, and it prompts action. Now, it says, if you see these people who, it says they're destitute, and you just say, well, be in peace, and be warm, be filled, but you don't do anything, it says, what profit is that? That's the end of verse 16. What profit is that? You didn't help them. I remember we were going in a restaurant, and the fellow that we knew from the church was going in the restaurant, and he spoke. We said, hi. He said, hi. And then a man came up and said to him, can you give me a dollar? He said, no, sir, won't give you a dollar, but come on in. You're having a supper with me. And he didn't want supper, so he wanted his dollar to add to his liquor fund. I'm sure that was what it was. He said, no, sir, you're coming with me. You're a hungry man. You're coming with me. And he persuaded him with a little force, and because he's a doer. We're a doer. It's what you do. It's not what you can't say and not do. I said that right, right? You have to do something by what you say. Your works, your action has to match your words. I said, well, you didn't do so-and-so. I said, but I said it. Now, the only way I don't back my word usually is I forgot. You have to write things down, especially if you're my age. You have to write things down. I said, Holy Ghost, help me to remember that. He is, according to John 14, Spirit of Remembrance. Help me to remember that so I can do that. We're going to become today doers, not just sayers. We've talked about confessing the Word and speaking the Word. When you're born again, you believe in your heart and you say with your mouth, you confess Jesus as the risen Lord. You say that. You say that. You say that. Now, the first thing you're going to do is be baptized. Because that is the first action that's going to confirm that you really did believe what you said. Now it says, verse 17 is the one I want you to see. It's actually in this chapter three times. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Faith, if it has not works, is dead. In other words, faith without works doesn't even work. You know, if something's dead, it's not working. Now, let me read you the Voice translation. I write all over my Bible, and people are offended by that. But then when I can't read them anymore, I just put those in the drawer with others and buy me a new one. Without action, faith is useless. That's the Voice. By itself, is as good as dead. So I'll ask you what you're saying. Maybe you know what you're saying, what you should say, what you meditate in, what the Scripture says, but are you doing that? Do you know what action you can take? Do you know what action validates that you really did know what you said? You really did believe what you said. Without actions, faith is useless. Now, if we had Wayne's mama's okra pan, it's probably still up there. No, it isn't. We don't know. It'd be useless to us. We don't know how to use it. We can plug it in. We can set the timer. Well, we don't know how to do the okra. See, there's some things your confession teaches you. There's some things you know because of what you read and what you said. And then it says, verse 18, a man may say, I have faith. And you say, well, I have works. Now, which is better, the man that said, I have faith, or the man that said, I have works? James has written to Christians. Every chapter says, Chapter 2 says, my brethren. Chapter 1 says, my brethren. Chapter 3, verse 1 says, my brethren. And we're not talking about salvation from sin. We're not talking about being born again. We're talking to Christians about doing the works of God because of the faith you have in His Word. Of adding works and action to your confession. Now, he said, a man may say, I have faith. And you say, well, I have works. He said, show me your faith without works. Do you know? No works. I can't tell if you really had faith or not because you're not doing anything. I mean, I heard what you said. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. So it is works that validates that I really do have faith. You can tell by what I said and what I'm doing that my faith is on the line, that I really do believe. I believe in my heart, and I've said with my mouth, and I've checked my spirit, is there anything that I should do? And there's a few things that we do every time in some variation. Now, the example that's given here is Abraham. And we're not like Abraham. God called Abraham, made a covenant with Abraham, and then called Abraham to kill the covenant son Isaac. This is the most interesting scripture you'll ever read. I believe it's in Genesis 21. Let me turn over there. So he takes Isaac to the land of Moriah, comes to the top of the mountain, and Isaac said, where's the lamb? See, there are certain things that if you're going to make a sacrifice, and I say to you, we're going to make a sacrifice, and I live in Isaac's day, Abraham's day, then you know we got to have a lamb or a goat or something. If there's no lamb, what we've said about making a sacrifice is not going to work because we don't have a sacrifice. See, there are certain actions that go with your confession. When you make a confession, by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed, what are you supposed to do in addition to what you said? Okay. Now, let me show you this. This is profound. These are my reading glasses, and if I could read without them, I would. Okay. That on the third day they traveled with it in Abraham's heart, I'm going up the top of this mountain to kill my son. Do you know why he did that? I do. I'm going to show you. He lifted up his eyes, and he said to the young men, he took two servants with him, and he said, "You stay here, and I and the lad will go worship, and we will come back to you." He was going to kill Isaac, and yet he said, "We will be back. We will be back. We will be back." But he has to kill Isaac to fulfill God's covenant. Now, we're not of that time frame. Thou shalt not kill was with Moses. And that's good for us today. And the government will be offended if you break that law. You knew that, right? Now, they go to the top of the mountain. And the angel speaks and says, "Don't kill your son." And he called the place Jehovah something. Because there was a ram caught in the thicket. And so God had provided a sacrifice. First of all, we have Abraham's obedience. We have Abraham's action based on what God had said. What has God said to you in his word? What did he say to you individually? Now, this gentleman had some kind of rare brain tumor. This is a couple decades ago or more. And there was only two surgeons in Florida that could do the surgery. One was North Florida, like Jacksonville area, and one was out in the panhandle. So he went to the one closest to his home, and he just didn't like him. Just wasn't working for him. And he had determined that surgery was his best route. It may be your best route, it may not be. That's according to you and what God places in your heart. You know that. Well, he got out to the car, and he told his wife, "We are not going. We're going out to the panhandle. I know it's a farther trip. You call, make me an appointment. This surgeon is not touching me. Do you understand that?" And the Lord spoke to him and said, "He's the one." Now, my action has to be consistent. By Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. And if God deals with him to be healed by surgery, which is the direction that he was going, God is not offended by medical science. He's not offended if you choose the route of faith without medical science. But you have to be sure that you're on the right road. Well, the man did the surgery, and what would have happened if he had decided not to let that man do so? He had decided to ignore the word of the Lord and go out to the panhandle. Well, we could guess, couldn't we? Jehovah Jireh, in verse 14, that's the God who provides. Now, let me tell you, look at Hebrews and let me show you why Abraham said, "The lad and I are going to worship, and the lad and I will be back." See, if you kill somebody, they're not coming back. You knew that, right? Hebrews 11. And here's the verse. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. Isaac was the heir to the promise. Without Isaac, there's no Jacob, Joseph. And that promise of a promised land and a nation for God's people is going to be passed on. But there has to be an Isaac. Of whom it is said, "In Isaac shall your seed be called." It was through Isaac that the promise of God, the covenant of God, was going to come to pass. But we're fixing to kill Isaac. That's what God said. But Abraham said, "We'll be back." Isaac and I, "We'll be back." Oh. Accounting, here's verse 19, this is the heart of what you need to hear. Accounting that God was able to raise him even from the dead. He went up there to kill him knowing God would raise him from the dead. Do you see that? Do you see the strength of his action based upon the covenant that he knew? The covenant that God had cut with him, he knew so well. He knew the covenant depended upon Isaac and then Jacob and Joseph. And he knew if I kill him, God will raise him up because God said to kill him. Of course, when he got there, God said, "Don't do that." You understand? So there was an action. The action was based upon what God had said to him. Action is based upon, it's not supposition, it's not something I dreamed up. Huh. Wayne's brother brought down Wayne's mother's old rocker. It's an old gooseneck. I'd always wanted an old gooseneck rocker. I found out quite quickly that you can't really sit in those. They hurt your body and your neck, and you're sitting at such a peculiar angle. I didn't know that. I didn't have the facts. I didn't have that data. till I did something. When I sat in that rocker for quite some time and read my Bible in that rocker and had a light over that rocker so I could read my Bible clearly, this is not working. This hurts your neck. I said, why this hurts my neck? And sometimes it's by trial and error. We try something, we realize, you know, it's not any shame to say, no, that wasn't God. I missed God there. That wasn't God. But when he brought it, it had been in the shed. Wayne's mom has been gone a long, long time. And it had been in the shed. It was in very poor condition. Well, that's what Wayne did for a long time. He refinished furniture, and so he perfected it. And it was very, very lovely and very, very uncomfortable because it wasn't the will of God for me. And I moved my light, Wayne moved the light, into the living room, into my big armed rocker. It's about this wide with these huge arms. And it's just right. See, the will of God is, you thought I'm lost, but the will of God is just right for you. It's just right. It's perfect for you. And you begin to say what you know from the Word and what you say by the Spirit, by divine unction. You begin to say that, and then you want to know, now what am I supposed to do? I said that and said that and said that. What am I supposed to do? See, I've been teaching a long time. I got the saying part down. God will bless my bread and water, take sickness and disease away from me. The number of my days he does fulfill. The Lord is my physician. It's health he brings to me. Mm-hmm. Beloved, I wish above all things you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all his enemies. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction. I got the saying part. What am I supposed to do? I've got the saying part. What am I supposed to do? So why do I have to do anything? Because you want to win. You want the promise to be fulfilled in your life. Right?
Right.
You didn't just want to be more brilliant, did you? Well, the second example that's given in James is Rahab the harlot. Absolutely amazing. Three times it says, as we get to Rahab the harlot, look at verse 20. We read verse 17, faith that hath not works is dead. In other words, faith without works is not doing anything. You've missed step three, the final step. And then it repeats that in verse 20. Will you know, O vain man? A vain man is something empty, futile, is not making any progress. Faith without works is dead. He says, you ought to know that. Well, I don't know that some things you teach once are, you don't teach at all. You know, you teach the things you're familiar with that you've studied out over the years. And this is one passage I've studied out over the years, but sometimes we're just kind of in the dark. You know, it's like, and we have to get in and read the Word so that our saying is sound based on the Word and based on what God says to me in the Spirit. And then he talks about Abraham. And then he says in verse 22, don't you see faith wrought with works, and by works was faith made. What made faith perfect? By works was faith made perfect. By works was faith made perfect. By works was faith made perfect, or complete, or full. By works, by the saying and the doing of it, it comes to pass. And you can't skip those steps. Now, verse 25. Likewise, Rahab the harlot, justified by works. Now, we're not talking about salvation. We're talking about the works of faith. And it's clear of that if you read all these my brethren. Two spies came to Rahab. She was lived in the days of Joshua. She lived in Jericho. And Jericho is going to be the first city the people are going to conquer under the ministry of Joshua. Moses has died. Joshua's in charge. And the two spies go in to spy in the land so they can conquer the land. And he comes and he stays with Rahab. Well, somebody reported that to the king, and the king sent people to get the two spies because he knew they were spies from Israel. Well, she hid them. Do you know, a lady told me this, and I don't think she would lie to me. She said, you can tell lies on Christmas and birthdays. But you can also tell lies up here if your city's coming down. If that's the way it seems, that's just, you don't have to write that down. That's the way it seems to me. Now, Rahab hid them, and then she told the king and the soldiers They went out the gate. The gates were locked in the cities at night. They went out the gate at dusk, and if you hurry, you can catch up with them. And then she let these two spies out the window by a cord. Now, her house was on the wall, and I don't know if you know the wall of Jericho, but it was so substantial and so wide they could race two chariots side by side. And her house was on that wall and a window to the outside, and she let them out. And he said, you will be saved if you put the silver cord, the red cord it was, out the window. And that's what she'd asked for. Now, this is interesting because teachers are detailed people. She said, will my brothers and my mother and my sisters and I be saved? And he said, you will be saved if that cord's out the window. Now, it's more than hearing here. Oh, yeah, I forgot. They told me to put that cord out the window. You know, you better have a note card on your refrigerator, too. You know? You've got to hear what God's saying. You've got to say what God's saying. You've got to believe what God's saying. And then you've got to say it and act and respond to it. Now, I'm going to save you here in a minute because this is not as hard as saving a city, saving you. And so she's let them out after the soldiers went. She let them out, told them to go to the mountain, hide for 3 days. The soldiers would be back, and then they could escape. And that's what happened. But see, she was a doer. That cord was out the window. She asked what? She got a response. She said that response. She acted on that response. Abraham heard from God. He acted on that response. When I hear from God, see, sometimes we're reluctant. I can remember a preacher we used to listen to all the time. He used to say, mighty reluctant, mighty reluctant. And I know that's true because God usually asks you to do something you didn't really want to do. Have you ever had that experience? You think, well, you know my apple pie story. I don't know my neighbor. We don't have close neighbors, but the closest neighbor across the little ditch there, it's quite a substantial ditch. She used to talk to me. I didn't hear what she said, but I'd wave and I'd say, hi, and she'd talk. And I'd say, oh, I don't know what she said. I'm just being a nice person. Well, one day the Lord said, take her an apple pie. And I'm just reluctant. First of all, I'm a good cook, but I'm not an enthusiastic cook. I mean, how many apple pies you want to cook a year? None. And I have a tremendous recipe that came from Aunt Nell. Tremendous. Interesting thing was, I was down there one day and she said, I wish I had a good apple pie recipe. Well, the one I had, she gave me, see. You can't put yourself in a position to forget the word, to forget the promise. You got to put it on your refrigerator. Put it on your stove. Hang it on your vanity mirror and then put a copy on your visor. Don't look at it while you're driving. You got that clear? Now look. Verse 26. As the body without the spirit is dead. Well, you know that. You're a spirit being. You're an inward man living in a physical body. And if the inward man leaves, the body collapses. It's dead. And the body's in the grave. One day it'll be reunited. Supernatural glory of God is going to bring the body and spirit together. In the meantime, the spirit is who you are, and it's the spirit that's born again, and you're gone. When the spirit leaves, you're dead. And what he goes on to say, and if you don't have works with your faith, it's dead. Now, you've been to a funeral. They don't do that too much anymore. They have memorial services, but where you can see the body. I remember my granddaddy's funeral. That was 1980. And they kept the coffin open, which I'm just a young lady, and I just didn't think that's a good idea, you know. I didn't like that. But they kept the coffin open. And there isn't any doubt that he's not in there. There's just no doubt. He is not in there. And that's the example he uses. Just as when the spirit leaves you, that body is dead. If you're not acting in faith, if what you say doesn't turn into action, it's dead. Well, if it's dead, it's not working. Did y'all know that? We need to be reminded, don't we? Need to be reminded. Now, we can't offer anybody as a sacrifice. God is never going to tell you to do that. you're probably not going to have to put a red cord in your window. And if you have a one-story house, that won't work anyway. But if you have a two-story house, that's probably not going to happen. What is God going to say to you that you could do? What you do has to validate what you said. What you said has to be what God said. I have to know what God said, believe what God said, and say what God said, and do what God said. I have to do it. You all right out there? Well, what happened to Jericho? It's in Joshua 2 and Joshua 6. Joshua 2 is the story we've just told you. And then you go to Joshua 6, and Israel comes to take the city of Jericho. And God had specific instructions. Now, the first thing he said, surround that city for 6 days. Don't say a word. Did your mother say to you, don't talk to me like that? Huh? Y'all were all perfect? Did you? I actually understand that. We had a peach tree outside the kitchen door. It never produced peaches. You know the reason for that. Mm-hmm. Mother kept cutting the branches off to use them for other purposes. Okay. Chapter 6. God's specific instruction. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn. That was the trumpet of the day. And when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. The seventh day, they're going to go around seven times, and then you're going to shout. Now, that's one of the most appropriate responses to your faith and healing, is the shout of faith. Everybody can shout. Everybody should shout. Do you know how to shout? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You know, Wayne's a pretty sound sleeper. Well, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon me. I don't remember that exactly, and I just would shout. And in the dark sometimes, if I'm not sleeping, which I'm very good at that, I raise my hands to heaven. I say, oh, thank you. Thank you, Father. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your confession is always followed by a shout. Well, when's the last time you shouted? Everybody can shout. Everybody can shout. Well, there are two types of people. There are the people that are quiet and introverted, and the people that are blabbermouths. The blabbermouth overdoes it, and the quiet person doesn't do it. And in between is everybody that can have victory by believing and saying and shouting. Now, I shout better when Wayne's working in the yard. You don't know this. You don't know the power of the anointing if you know, but I am a serious introvert. I don't do groups. I don't go to showers. I just can't. I very seldom go to lunch with anybody. But when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon me, as you see, I'm a different person. Well, shouting is not my thing. You know? We went to a Kenneth Copeland meeting years and years ago. Well, I went. Wayne was still working. And I sat in the very back. That's my favorite spot. In the back. And Kenneth Copeland said, let's everybody line up and hold hands. We're going to dance before the Lord. I about passed out. That's not my thing. So I got to the last one. I'm the last one in line, holding on to this man who's the next to the last man in line. And something happened. The anointing came down that line. It was a long line. It came down that line. When it whizzed past me, I couldn't keep my feet still because the anointed had come. Amen. But see, at my house, I'm not always alone. Wayne's been retired over 20 years. He's always there. We're always together. Somebody asked me that. Are y'all always together? Yes, we are always together. And I'm pretty good at shouting, aren't I, honey? And I'm pretty good at praying real loud. But I had to get there. Because of my personality, I had to kind of edge over there. So they shouted. You know what happened when they shouted? The walls fell down. They're shouting at walls that are so thick and so wide that two chariots go side by side. And they shouted at God's command at those walls, and those walls fell down. And history records they fell in the opposite direction that they would have fallen because of the way they were built. God just proving that it wasn't the way you built it or your shoddy workmanship.
Yeah.
It was my voice.
Yes.
It was the shout.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they shouted before there was any evidence of victory. They shouted because God said, you shout, the walls will fall down. They're simply following the word. They're following what they believe that God said that they're saying. They're shouting because God said. They're shouting because God said. They're shouting. See, all you have to, God says, I'm healed. I said, oh, hallelujah, I'm healed. So you don't feel healed. I don't look healed. But I am. And I begin to shout. Now, look at 2 Chronicles 20. And this is King Jehoshaphat, who got word that several tribes of people were coming in mass after the people of Israel and Judah, and he knew they couldn't win. That's all in chapter 20. You read, that's very interesting. And so he called the people, my favorite verse, he called the people of the city together to ask help of the Lord. I love that verse. It's 24, to ask help of the Lord. He knew they could not win against the army. He knew his military might was not sufficient. He doesn't know what to do. If I don't know what to do, I ask. If any lack wisdom, let him ask of God, gives to all men liberally and upbraids not. If I don't know what to do, I ask. What do we do here? What do we do? I don't know what to do. And then I shout, hallelujah, hallelujah. God is working in me. He's working in me. He's giving me spirit of wisdom, revelation, knowledge, and the eyes of understanding and light. And God is working. I know the will of God. Have it in all wisdom and understanding. I bear fruit in the kingdom. And I've been translated out of the darkness. I'm in the kingdom of God's dear Son, the kingdom of light, and the light of God. The light of God is in His Word, and it comes in me. And now I know what to do. I know what to say, and I know how to act or respond. See, now where are you shorting out, the saying or the acting or both? Well, I could speak for me, but I'm not telling you. Okay. They get together to have this prayer meeting. They don't know what to do. And this young prophet speaks up. And he says in verse 20, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this multitude. The battle's not yours, it's God's. And then he sends them to the battlefield, telling them they won't have to fight. Now that's hard to believe, is it not? It's kind of hard to believe. He said, I'll do this. Well, you know, if he was going to do that, I'd just soon stay home and get word that it had been done. I think that'd be better. No, he wants them to see. And he wants them to gather the riches that's going to be left, because when they got there, the army had killed one another, the enemy armies. Now look, what did they do? First thing they did, when they had the word of the Lord, is verse 18, they worshiped the Lord. That means they really did believe that they were not going to have to fight this, that God was going to do this for them. And then in the next verse, they praised the Lord. And it says with a loud voice. And they didn't say, praise God. They said, I can't shout today because we're not supposed to make much noise in here. But if I could, you know I would. Praise God. They worshiped. They praised God. And then what did they do? They appointed a group of singers, to lead the people, the army, to the battlefield. Singers. You don't normally go to battle with your choir in front. Why'd they do that? They believed what God had said. And if I believe by Jesus' stripes I was healed, it doesn't matter what my body says to me, I'm ignoring my body and I'm continuing to say, thank God. God has made an utter end. That's Nahum 1:7-9. God has made an utter end. This affliction shall not arise a second time. That's what I believe. That's why I'm singing. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sickness plunged beneath that flood lose all its power of gain. I know you don't know that verse because I just wrote it. So the singers led the battle. Now in Acts 16, Paul and Silas are in prison. How did they get out of prison? They got in prison for casting the devil out of a young girl and ruining a man's business. He was using her, telling fortunes to make money. And when they cast the devil out of her, she couldn't tell fortunes, and they got arrested. And it says, verse 25, chapter 16, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises, and the prisoners heard them. So they weren't whispering. They weren't quiet. They were heard. The prisoners heard them. And when they sang, the prison doors opened. And being men of faith, they stayed there and won the jailer and his entire family to the Lord. What opened those prison doors? There was an earthquake that shook them open. What caused that? The singing. They're singing. They're singing. It's the word of the Lord. It's my faith in the word of the Lord. It's my confession of the word of the Lord. And it's my shouting and my singing. Now, I'm not a great singer. I noticed I'm better than some. I can stay on tune. I'm by no means a stage singer. But if I'm singing at my house, what difference does it make that I don't do? I don't even pay much attention in here. I was in Texas doing a meeting at a church, and every now and then the Spirit comes on me so strong, I sing the whole lesson. That happened that day. I sang almost all the lesson, 80-90% of it. And the next day, the preacher's wife was a tremendous singer. And he got up and he said, "Now, Sister Becky is a singer. She's not a vocalist. My wife is a vocalist. Sister Becky is only a singer." You get the difference there. Does that bother me? No, it doesn't bother me. If you get bothered by little things, you'll never make it. Just go into all the world, spread the gospel. You got to forget those things. It was the singing. And we've had the shouting and the praising and the worshiping. See, what are you? Those things anybody can do. Now, in the middle of the night, I raised my hands to the Lord. I wasn't sleeping. I'm worshiping. And I happen to say, think of a song we haven't sung in 40 years. You wouldn't even know it. I could hardly remember it, but when I get in the Spirit, it was very clear to me. Keep the switch of faith turned on. You know that one? Keep the switch of faith turned on. Cast not away your confidence. Keep the switch of faith turned on. See, it's God giving me a song that will help me be steadfast and hold steady in some dilemmas we have. "Well, are you shouting?" I said, "Well, not really." "Are you singing?" "No, not hardly." "Well, then you have being thankful." That's in Philippians 4. "Don't worry about anything, but everything by praise with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made." Pray with thanksgiving. Prayer and supplication. Supplication is it's a specific request. I mean, you ask something specific. You ask something specific, and God said, "If you ask, you don't have anything to worry about. I'm going to answer you, and you should do this." So when I finish praying, I'm like Mark 11:24. I know God's answered. He said He'd answer, so He's answered. I haven't seen an answer. I don't know how an answer is possible, but God said He'd answer, and He said, "So be thankful." Thanksgiving. I said, "Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father." Then sing, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." "Praise Him, all people here below." So, "Well, I don't want to sing." Okay, do without. Or maybe you should shout. You better do something. Faith without works is dead. Lifeless, ineffective. It's dead. Now, the only thing that good is dead in your house is the roaches. And I tell you what I found out. One little lady got a dead roach, and she placed it in her kitchen. And her husband, being an extreme neatnik person, scrubbed that kitchen from stem to stern. And she said, I heard a pastor tell this. And she took that roach the next day and put it in the bathroom. See, and if you can't sing, shout. If you can't shout, praise. If you can't praise and shout, then be filled with thanksgiving. Say, thank you, Father, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. If you try that, you'll get louder and louder. The last thing is from Revelation. And it says, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our
testimony.
See, this is not like killing your son on top of the mountain. We can't do that anywhere. That's illegal. This is not walking around a city and shouting it down. This is simply responding to the word that you're confessing, that you have in your heart, the victory that comes by saying. Saying and doing go together. If you say it and you don't do it, you're not finished. Y'all got that right? Well, talk about the things God testified. Talk about the things God's done in the past. Wayne and I have had some marvelous victories in the past. He was military. The height of war. He was in Georgia at Fort Benning. I shout every time I think about that. I think about my life. 58 years we've been married. On my own, I would never have been good at that. First of all, these days when I bend over, it's not all I use to get up. Now, repeat after me. The Lord sent His word and healed me.
The Lord sent His word and healed me.
He delivered me from all destruction.
He delivered me from all destruction.
I serve the Lord. He blesses my food and drink.
I serve the Lord. He blesses my food and drink.
He takes away sickness from me and my family.
He takes away sickness from me and my family.
He heals all our diseases.
He heals all our diseases.
The spirit of Him that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me.
The spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me.
Therefore, He that raised up Christ from the dead has quickened my body, making it immune to sickness and disease. These will help you if you need them. We've ordered some. Now, are you ready? Do you believe that word?
Yes.
You believe that word?
Yes.
Oh, we thank you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you, Father. Oh, we honor you, 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 we thank you, we praise you, we praise you, we praise you. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, we honor you, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you for the stripes. Thank you for the stripes. Thank you for the healing power.
Yes, Lord.